सनातन रघुयुगौषी जीव गोपालको। ट्रांसलेशन Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Who are very expert in scrutinizing and studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing intelligent religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis of Shri Radha and Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Narayanam Namaskritya Narom Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Dasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishi Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Shri Prabhupada Jai Shri Prabhupada Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamam Bhajami. Welcome back everyone. Please accept my humble obeisances. All good Shri Prabhupada. So, before I start, let me turn on this recording. So, again, welcome back. So, we have been hearing since last week lessons 3, 4, and 5. Actually, I completed third lesson, and fourth was just halfway. So this is about the topic of discussion between a teacher and a student in Srimad Bhagavatam. So actually Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing about but questions and answer, and the discussion between various teachers and students. And the topic of discussion is all about bhakti. So what we have been hearing is the virtue of bhakti by giving different examples of teacher-student dialogues, beginning right from the beginning with Lord Brahma being instructed about bhakti process by none other than the Supreme Authority, Sri Krishna himself. This is the very beginning of the dawn of creation. Krishna actually gave Srimad Bhagavatam in a seed form. It's called Chatushloki Bhagavatam. So here you can see in this first slide that we saw it last week. Lesson 3, text 41 to 57, these various examples of teacher-student discussions that we have been hearing about, beginning with Lord Brahma. Krishna instructed him. Now Brahma in turn is instructing his disciple Narad Muni, and then so beginning with second canto onward, then third canto onward, third and fourth canto, Maitreya Muni, Vidura, Kapil, Devoti and so on like that. So let us very briefly review the highlights. So basically I sent you an email to all of you whether I should summarize what we learned from the previous week's class. But basically I'm sorry to say, but just very handful of you really responded. So I'm not sure I should do that, but at least for the sake of those very few who do care, I think I would learn from these two lessons that we need to remember. So I'm going to keep it minimum as possible, because most of you, vast majority of you, really don't care about that. So to respect your wish, your choice, I'll keep it to very bare minimum, even summarizing. Problem is that when students are not that much interested, then teacher also must do his part and just walk away as soon as possible. That's, I'm afraid, that's the choice you have given me. So I respect that choice and I will do it accordingly. So I'll do my part and just simply walk away. Thank you. So here we started with Brahma instructing Narad Muni. And again, the topic of discussion is the virtue of bhakti, devotional service. And that bhakti should be rendered unto whom? The supreme authority. Here it makes very clear, supreme authority in Lord Narayana, who is an expansion of Lord Shri Krishna. So, Ante Narayana Smriti, that is the goal of every human form of life, that at the time of leaving this body, we should be in a position to remember Lord Narayana. Then we become free. Not only we become free, but we go back to spiritual world. That's the goal, you know. So here, that's what its lesson is here, right there. The various verses that Lord Brahma says that here, that Narayana is the ultimate destination of bhakti. So bhakti is the means by which we attain the supreme goal of human form of life, you know. And so that bhakti is the ultimate methodology, you know, the potency of that methodology to attain the supreme goal of human form of life, you know. That is the point that we must remember all the time. So then, continuing onwards, the third canto begins with the dialogue taking place with Maitreya Muni, who is instructing Vidur Mahatma, and this keeps on going even in the fourth canto also. So here, Maitreya Muni begins with saying that bhakti is a process very joyfully rendered. And it is the easiest path actually. Now, joyfully and very easy path for the transcendence point that he is making. And look at this one. Even the devotees who render devotional service under the Supreme, even they themselves bring virtue their environment, you know. So there is the bhakti, you know. Then moving onwards, in the third canto, Lord Kapil Dev, who is the incarnation of the Supreme, is now instructing about bhakti process to Mother Devahuti. And that is, again, he is talking about Sankhya Yoga actually. So from a yoga point of view, he is glorifying this bhakti as the methodology. So bhakti is the best path even for the yogis. That's the point he's making. And bhakti confirms equanimity of mind. Because here we are talking about yoga. So in yoga, the stability of mind, of the mind, is extremely of paramount importance. So it is not jnana, not Ashtanga Yoga and all these things, but it is the bhakti. Krishna. So Krishna takes most of the charge of our mind, and that really brings the stability of the mind, because mind otherwise is extremely chanchala, flickering, and it's obstinate, stubborn, you know. It has its own way of doing things, you know. And then continuing in the same fourth canto, then we hear about the four Kumaras, you know, Sanat Kumar and others, now instructing about bhakti process to Prithu Maharaj. So here they are saying that it is bhakti that really cuts the knot of karma. This karmic reaction on our own, we can't really become free from that. The only bhakti really resolves, nullifies all karmic reaction, even in the seed form. So both prarabdha karma, aprarabdha karma, that means those which are not only manifest, even the unmanifest karma, and then also even the seed form, they are destroyed by the bhakti process. So that is the virtue, that is the power, that is the potency of bhakti. So then, you know, since this is Kumaras are instructing, Kumaras are actually the jnana potency incarnation of Lord Shri Krishna, you know. So obviously we are talking about jnana, but the point here, the Kumaras are making to Prithu Maharaj, that jnana is only a component of bhakti and not the other way around, actually. And as we hear, jnana in the beginning process, before we are not, you know, until we come to the bhakti platform, is the vehicle by which we can come. Because jnana gives the perception that you need to become free from all material desires. It is the knowledge, transcendent knowledge tells us. But so that way it is easier to get detachment from material pursuits to come to bhakti platform. But once you come to bhakti platform, jnana is not required. In fact, jnana could be detrimental, because jnana, being, you know, men detached, it gives some kind of a stone heart, you know. We require emotions, we require feelings to be towards Krishna through the path of bhakti. So then jnana prevents that, so it could be detrimental process, you know. So it's the bhakti which gives itself this jnana and vairagya, the detachment, and not the other way around. So that is what the gist of Kumara's instruction to Prithu Maharaj about bhakti is there, you know. And then again in the fourth canto we hear about the 10 Prajeta brothers who are now being instructed by Rudra, that is Lord Shiva first, about, and that is called Rudra. You know, Lord Shiva, who is the greatest Vaishnava, is instructing Prachetas how to develop bhakti unto the Supreme Lord, you know, and in fact he gives a specific mantra also, you know, and then Narad Muni takes over and continues the same instruction to Pracheta brothers. So that means here what they are saying, that the, all the 10 senses in the mind should be meant, actually they are meant to serve the Supreme, who is the Supreme Soul for all beings, and for the root of its existence, you know, all existence. So bhakti is the topmost, it is the root of everything. Then moving on to the fifth canto, we hear about the narration about the bhakti process by Lord Rishabhdev, who is the incarnation of the Supreme. Now he is instructing to his 100 sons headed by Bharat Maharaj, to his sons. And then we also hear in the fifth canto about Jaya Bharata, later on instructing to King Ravana. So what they are saying about the potency of bhakti, the devotees have no goal other than bhakti. So the supreme goal, the only goal the devotees have is rendering devotional service, you know. And the way we are in the beginning, we need this taste for bhakti process, and that comes by the association and serving of senior Vaishnavas called Sadhu Sangha. So Sadhu Sangha is the fruit of human life. And then later on, moving onwards to seventh canto, we hear about Prahlad Maharaj teaching to his schoolmates, the sons of the Asuras, the demons, you know. We also hear about Shankarsana, Lord Shankarsana instructing Maharaj Chitraketu. And what they are saying, that Jnana is again what we are hearing about Jnana. The Jnana is recommended only as an instrument of bhakti. So Jnana is just a subservient. It's just to bring us to the platform, bhakti platform. Once we attain bhakti platform, then Jnana is not more required, you know. And here, Jnana, we are talking about that, speculative knowledge, you know, or Vedic knowledge, you know. So bhakti is the significance of human life. And Prahlad Maharaj is saying that that must start in the very childhood. When a child is just 5 years old, he must be taught about bhakti process. So it is the responsibility of the parents. They themselves must practice bhakti, then only they can instruct their children also. So bhakti process must start at the very beginning of life, you know, just around 5-6 years old, you know. So all practices meaningful when they assist devotion. Everything is facilitated by devotional practice. And it is the best method of uprooting karma. So again, we are hearing all karmic reaction, if you want to nullify, it is only through bhakti process. So that point is reinforcing by this, you know, Shankarsana to Chitraketu, and also Prahlad Maharaj is saying the same. But bhakti does not end there. Even after getting liberation, bhakti process continues. Even pure bhakti actually begins right after liberation, you know. So that is those who have transcended, those who have bypassed the karmic reaction. So karmic reaction dissolution happens, becoming freedom, gaining freedom from material existence. That's not the end. Bhakti process continues beyond that also, you know. Because ultimately it is taking us to the supreme goal, that is Krishna Prema, you know. Okay. Then we hear, continuing the seventh canto, about Narad Muni teaching bhakti process to Maharaj Yudhishthira, you know. So that, what we hear there, what we heard, that is Lord Hari, who takes, Hari means to hurl away, hurl away means who takes away all the very karmic reactions and everything, difficulties. There is the root. Who is the root of all our dharma. So we all have our occupational duties, and they are designed, they are meant to ultimately come to the bhakti platform. So at that place, that point, when we are still not on bhakti, then even discharging your specific occupational duties, which are designed particularly your one's position in the four vanas and four ashramas, they are meant to actually, the results of that should be surrender to the Supreme, you know. So that is the point here. And dharma is not the cause of bhakti. So this occupational duty by itself is not bringing us to bhakti process actually, you know. But what he is saying here, that by rendering Dakshama, but that process, and when we particularly render and results to be given, surrender unto the Supreme, then slowly we develop a bhakti process, you know. So that is the point here. So one can actually, so the point here, bhakti is not a cause of bhakti. So this occupational duty, varnasham dharma, is not the cause of bhakti. What he is saying that the bhakti can be directly taken without having to discharge varnasham dharma duties. You know, that's the point here. One can directly take up that. And bhakti is distinct from these swadharmas, you know, or this specific duties according to varna and ashrama. So at that point, we stopped last week. And so today, we are continuing and going all the way to 11th canto. The nine yogendras, they are teaching bhakti process to King Nimi. King Nimi is asking several questions. The main point here, the bhakti is called actually Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma means hearing, chanting, and remembering Lord Krishna. You know, that's the point. So Bhagavad Dharma is this particular method, powerful method, was given originally by Prahlad Maharaj. So here he's expanding that particular process. He's explaining what is Bhagavad Dharma to King Nimi, actually, you know. So that's the point here. So here, there are a series of verses, first series of questions put forward by King Nimi, and then one of the yogendras, one of the nine yogendras, is beginning that instruction, and that's the verse right here. That's the 11th canto. I told you last week that we conducted a whole course on the teachings of Navi Yogendras to King. The course we conducted that. And later on we are talking about Uddhava Gita, where Krishna's instructing Lord, Krishna instructing Uddhava. That also the entire, almost bulk of 11th canto is about Uddhava Gita. That also we conducted the entire course a few years back, you know. So it's a good idea to really summarize that. So what is this verse? That I have understood that in this world, this one of the Yogendra is saying that the worship of the lotus feet of the Lord is the position of complete for those whose minds always tormented due to misconceiving the body as the self. By this worship, the fear is absolutely dispelled. So what the point here? That we are all actually experience ourselves right here. Everybody in material existence are constantly suffering because this material world, as I've been telling you right from beginning, material world is actually designed to give difficulties. It's a train wheel actually here. This world, material world, is not our natural place. Fish out of water actually, you know. So that is designed to give difficulties, as we all, sometimes we have difficulties in our job, sometimes we have difficulties within our family, all the time difficulties are different, monetary problems we have, health issues are there, all kind of difficulties, you know. And then the fear comes to that, fear of this material existence, fear of suffering, fear of losing job, fear of death. Excuse me. Fear of dying and so on, like that is the greatest fear. The fear of dying is not the greatest fear, but the fear of having to come back again this material world and again it has to go through this rat race, you know, difficulty. That is a problem. So this fear can be nullified. One can become fearlessness, can attain fearlessness only by this bhakti process. So because Lord Shri Hari, whose another name is takes away this fear, that means never having to suffer again, you know. That's the point here. So, now there's another Yogendra speaks about the three verses he speaks to respond to King Nimi's request for him to enumerate the principles of Bhagavad Dharma, as I told you before. So, Bhagavad Dharma again, Bhagavad Dharma is what? Hearing, chanting, that is glorifying and remembering the pastimes of Lord Shri Krishna with his very confidential associates. And Srimad Bhagavatam is all about that, actually, no? So when we hear that, we become free from the lower modes of material nature. That is the cause of our suffering in material existence. That is the one which, you know, gives us this tremendous anchoring for material enjoyment. So on our own, we cannot become free from that because it is due to this mode of rajoguna and tamoguna, you know. And Krishna, what it does when we keep hearing about his sweet pastimes with his devotees, simply hearing that, we come to the mode of goodness. You know, and when we come to the mode of goodness, evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogata. So when we become very blissful, and at that point really we attain pure bhakti, unalloyed bhakti, you know, anya vilashat anya labhishata sunyam. Dana karma anadi anavratam, you know, anukulayena krishnano chilanam bhaktir uttama. So then that kind of bhakti which there is no ulterior motive of our own, actually it serve Krishna according to what he desires, whatever it is actually favorable to Krishna. That is that kind of bhakti we engage here, and then we attend this and Bhagavad Tattva Vigyanam, science of Krishna, who Krishna really is, you know. So that, all this thing that we get, and that is all because of this Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma. And that is what actually the Navi Yogendras are disclosing, are explaining to King Nimi. So one of the verses again quoted by Srila Jiva Goswami here, that all those mean that were spoken by the Lord, humanity could easily attain realization of the Lord, of the Supreme Self. You should know it to be Bhagavad Dharma. So that is the potency of Bhagavad Dharma. Very, very important understanding that we should really, that is the topmost virtue of this Bhagavad Dharma Bhakti, you know. Bhakti becomes, let us become free from material existence, but then continues onward. It's through bhakti alone we develop this prema towards Krishna, the supreme goal. That is really great, very, very great potency and virtue of bhakti process. Again, another verse by the Yogendras. A person who is not near to the Lord because of the influence of the Lord's deluding energy, Maya, because Maya always tries hard to take us away from Krishna. Bhakti brings towards Krishna. Only bhakti actually comes and cannot come in between bhakti. When Krishna bhakti is there, Maya is restricted in her movement, you know. But bhakti always tries. So those who are not steadiness in their bhakti, they succumb to this forgetfulness, misapprehension and fear arising out of absorption in the in what that which is secondary to the Lord. So, what is second to the Lord? Anything away from Krishna. That means, I want to attend to go to this party. I want to enjoy this. I want to enjoy that. Then anything other than Krishna, other than the Supreme Lord, our mind takes away from there, actually, you know. And that is Maya's role, actually. And that is Maya does because of the mode of rajoguna and tamoguna, you know. That's the problem, you know. So, bhakti removes the rajoguna tamoguna and the manifestation of that, which is the one which prevents us to come bhakti. So bhakti brings us to the pure mode of goodness, and then bhakti process becomes realized. As we heard, Nashta Prayeshva Padreshu Nityam Bhagavad Seva, and that nashtik bhakti, steadiness, that development. Steadiness is very important. In the beginning stage, we have this problem how to become steadily engaged in devotional service, steadily engaged in hearing Krishna Katha, you know. And that is what the world wants to do.
If you can do that,
Luna,
who wants
to do somebody's microphone is on. Haribo. So here, see that in a bold letters I put here, this one of the Yogendra's teaching, that it is understood that even routine activities become Bhagavad Dharma if offered to the Lord. Actually, anything, everything that we do, anything we before we doing that, we offer that to the Supreme. So, and that becomes Bhagavad Dharma. You know. So devotees and non-devotees might be doing the same things. Devotees also, like non-devotees, they have a job to perform. Bhakti is not preventing us to do the job. Bhagavad Dharma must be there. But the Bhagavad Dharma takes over the charge. Then Swadharmas, our duty towards our family, duty towards our job, and so on, they are automatically taken care of that, you know, by Bhakti process. Because Krishna takes charge of that, you know. So that is the potency of Bhagavad Dharma. So everything, all the routine activities that we do daily, on daily basis, that when we offer to the Supreme, that constitute Bhagavad Dharma. That's all about Bhagavad Dharma. See the beauty part of it? And Bhakti, once began, it never ends, continues all the way. Even suppose if we don't attain perfection, what is the perfection of bhakti? To develop, attain Krishna Prema. So, and that is the ultimate step, ultimate end of that, you know, perfection. If we don't attain it, and we suppose our life ends there, still whatever we've done, nothing goes in waste. So, api dharmasya api asit. So, what Krishna does, he brings us next life and lets us continue from the point onwards then. So, we become vehicle and we continue that process right from the very beginning actually. You know? So, it's a continuation. Continuity is the one of the characteristic of bhakti. Once begin, it never ends and get the full perfection, Krishna Prema. That's the point here, you know. So here this verse spoken again by one of the Yogendras. Whatever action one performs with the body, mind, speech, you know, and senses, in truth, fact and heart being enforced by one's own nature should be offered to the Supreme Lord Narayana. See, that's point, what Yogendra is saying, that everything, anything, even though on one hand, we, because at the neophyte stage, we still have attraction to enjoy material nature, you know, to enjoy activities other than bhakti, still, all these things are there. Even that itself we offer to the Lord and pray to the Lord, Lord, please help me take charge of my life. That becomes bhakti. We have anchoring, material anchoring we have, but that also with the consciousness that, Lord, I want to come to you, but right now I'm unable to control my mind, control my senses, you know. So Lord comes to our aid actually. So that desire must be this to come to bhakti. Even before actually coming to bhakti, even the very desire when you have that bhavatam, very first canto, first chapter, second verse says that tap chana, you know, once that you develop the desire to come to bhakti, Krishna immediately tap chana, immediately that very moment he establishes that, he stabilizes the desire actually, you know, and we continue from that. So that's the very beginning of bhakti process. Bhakti comes. From Krishna, you know. So, bhakti, so here, the duality the material world is full of dualities, happiness, misery, and so on like that, you know. So that, actually there is no real existence. It's like a dream state, you know, a dream state. Don't realize that actually, you know. So it appears like a dream or a mental image through the intelligence to so intelligence in material sense, material consciousness, intelligence also taken away. So everything must be turned towards Krishna, towards Krishna Bhakti. That must be done actually. But every very desire you have, even though we are unable to do that, Krishna takes charge from that point onwards. And I find personally that's very, very powerful actually, and the virtue of Bhakti, very desire. So we must at the very minimum, we must have a desire, you know. Therefore, a wise person should control his or her mind, the seat of resolution and indecision pertaining to action. This will bring fearlessness. So just when we come to Bhakti, immediately Krishna takes charge of and that fear will go away, you know. And one becomes freedom when one gains freedom from such fear. You know. And Bhakti is direct glorification of the Lord. So through Bhakti we glorify the Lord. That is the very essence of Bhakti, you know. So here Yogendra is talking about that. Hearing of the most auspicious births and activities of the Lord Hari, the wielder of the disc, Sudarshan Chakra who holds that, and singing his names denoted his birth and activities which are famous in this world, one should wander free from attachment and shame, you know. So this is again an echoing to what Krishna himself said in Bhagavad Gita, you know. Janma karma cha me divyam yo vetti tattvata, you know. Janma karma cha divyam yo vetti tattvata. Once you get that, simply his names, his various names and his activities, his pastimes, you know, when you simply do that, then one thing can come birth here and never have to come, you know. Mameti so Arjuna, I forgot the exact word. Janma karma chet devyam yo veti tattvata titva deham puna janma nayeti mameti so Arjuna, you know. So after thinking of this life, this present life is the last one, you know, and then Krishna takes charge of us and he will take us back to the spiritual world, back to his own abode, you know. So again, so that hearing about Krishna's names, his pastimes and so on, his activities, his attributes, and that is all Srimad Bhagavatam. So hearing Bhagavatam, you know. Alright. Okay, then we hear about the Vedas. The Vedas teach in a concealed manner, and that's Parokshavada. So now Vedas, as I told you, the bulk of the Vedas, nearly about 85% is about Karma Kanda principles, because vast majority of us are on a material platform, bodily conception of life, enjoy. So Veda gives that, but actually the real purpose of Veda is to bring us back to Bhakti. That's the real purpose actually. And here the Yogendra is actually giving examples that it is like a parent, once when a child is suffering from a particular illness, he wants to give medicine, father or mother, you know, he or she. And the child would not take that medicine because medicine tastes actually. When we tell people to attend these classes on a regular basis, and I just, that's my experience I'm telling you, that I would quiz this homework so that you can interactively participate. process to enjoy that. But by doing that, ultimately brings us to Krishna Bhakti level. First, demigod worship, go to the heavenly planet, that is the goal. But by doing that, eventually the person will realize that even demigods themselves are not really giving any benedictions without empowerment from Krishna. Even their own world, heavenly planets, are also subject to annihilation, destruction when the time is due actually. Only the spiritual world is eternal, ever existing. So that kind of realization gradually comes through Vedas. So Vedas gives in a very discrete way. So it has a so it does not give that thing directly, in an indirect way, and that is what called parokshavada, you know. So here Navi Yogendras are saying that the real purpose is to make the ignorant free from bondage to karma, are prescribed in the same manner that children are persuaded to take better medicine by offering them sweets. That's what parents do, that giving candy, but candy is mixed with that medicine and child does not realize. And the same with the Vedas also giving like that. So apparently it gives this means of material enjoyment, but through that Vedas actually ultimately teaches us, and that's what the way. So 80-85% is karma kanda, and then when after that one, he brings us to the jnana kanda, you know, and then comes upasana kanda, which is only about less than 5%, and even upasana kanda also not pure bhakti. Pure bhakti even extremely rare, in fact, you know, later on. So Vedas brings us to that platform ultimately. So another verse, an ignorant person who has no control over his senses and does not follow the Vedic injunctions wanders in the cycles of birth and death because of engaging in forbidden religious acts. So Vedas teaches us actually karma, vikarma. Karma means that karma. Initially it's a sarkam, you know, material desire, but at least according to the under the regulated conditions, rules and regulations, Vedic injunctions are there. Please do this, please don't do that, and so on like that. So if you follow and perform those actions, karma, that's called karma, okay? But then there are vikarmas. Vedas also instruct us that don't perform these kind of things, otherwise you will suffer. You will suffer sinful reactions. So that's called being, I know. But ultimately, Krishna teaches us what we should really practice, come to the akama. Akama means those karmas which does not have any reactions. Even sakarma, good karmas, good deeds, pious deeds also has reactions, you know. What kind of reaction? Because we need to enjoy that, materially enjoy. So for that, we have to again come back, either in this world, or maybe promote heavenly planets, and we must come back. So so that those kind of even good karmas is also not desirable. What we want is akama, and bhakti is a kind of karma, but that is devoted, that is done for the pleasure of the Lord. So that does not become there's no action. So these those kind of action is without reaction. That's the point here, you know. So one who executes only those actions described by the Vedas without attachment to the fruit, that's called Nishkam Karma Yoga. Even beyond that, okay? So, and who offers the results to the Supreme Lord, so that is said Nishkam Karma Yoga, attains the perfection of being freed from the bondage to karma. The description of materialistic fruit that can be obtained is only to promote an interest in prescribed actions. So that's the point I just explained to you, you know. So Vedas take in a stepwise manner, but a point here one can directly, why going through the stepwise way, why not come directly to the bhakti process, you know. So a person, so in other words, a person Jesus to come to this Krishna Bhakti part, you know. So that is what Navayogendra is teaching to King Nimi. And this is the way how we can come from material consciousness to Krishna consciousness. So karma prescribed for those lacking knowledge and faith. See that? One who is not on a bhakti platform, who does not have this transcendental knowledge, Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam, and faith in Krishna Katha, for them these kind of karmas are prescribed. Varnashram duties prescribed for those, you know. But those are designed actually to ultimately come to this bhakti platform. So that's the verse here. As long as one has not awakened faith in hearing narration about me, now here Krishna is speaking to Uddhava actually, one part of Uddhava Gita actually. Or as long as one had not developed detachment, she should continue to engage, he or she should continue to engage in prescribed karma. So these swadharmas or these varnashrams are made for those who have not yet developed faith and desire to come to bhakti platform, to serve Krishna. For them it is made. So ultimately that is gradually comes to that bhakti platform eventually. So naishkarmiya, those karmas without desire to enjoy, offer the results of that karma to the Supreme, because you still have attachment for this karma, you know. That's called naishkarmiya. So the gradual, and that is the gradual path of freedom from karma. Proper execution of the prescribed duties without attachment in accordance with Varnashram Dharma laid down by the Lord. So actually the Varnashram Dharma was actually established by the Supreme Being all himself, as Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, you know. He says this Chaturvarnya Maya system, you know, Guna Karma Vibhagasa, these four Varnas and four Ashramas are actually designed by me based on the divisions of Guna and Karma actually. For those who are not yet devotees. And then that offer, that results of that swadharmas, results of the varnashram duties, must be offered to the Supreme. That's the point here. And then gradually that individual gains freedom from karmic reaction by the grace of the Supreme Lord actually. You know? And eventually if he continues that way, Krishna will grant him, bless him, and sends his own devotee in the life of that person, and then that's how he comes. So by sadhu sangha, sadhu association, he develops a ruchi, you know. Sushrusha sudha dhanasya vasutsyan mahatsevaya punya tirtha nishyavana. That verse with it we discussed many, many times. So only proceeding with the Krishna devotees who have natural inclination, taste to hearing Krishna Katha. So when we associate with them and we serve them by the very potency of that process, we develop taste for hearing Krishna Katha, you know. And that is the way come to bhakti platform. So bhakti is the immediate path of freedom from karma. A rapid independent method. Independent means it does not depend on karma, jnana, or detachment, vairagya. So naishkarmiya siddhi, attachment or the perfection of that naishkarmiya, you know. Also the means to pierce the node of the heart, hriday granthi, the type node. We are a spirit soul, but we have this natural inclination, propensity to enjoy materially. So type node between matter and spirit. So that Hriday Granthi is very difficult to untie. Only through bhakti process, only when we develop the science of Krishna, Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam, then we are able to. Vidyate Hriday Granthi, Chintyate Sarva Samshaya, Kshiyate Chasya Karmani, Drashta Evatmani Ishvare. So that was exactly is relevant to this particular point the Navayogendras are making King Nimi. So false ego, which is the bodily conception of life, tremendous detachment to the Krishna Katha, as long as we are in the association, in the company of the devotees, we remain in the mode of goodness, you know. But moment we give up, the moment we give up Krishna association with the devotees, or hearing Krishna Katha, then that mode of goodness can again degrade to the lower modes. So the vicious cycle continues. So we need to get out of the vicious cycle, and the only way is to continually, steadily, nityam, sada, always, that word is always there, right? Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya. That must be maintained in order to remain in the mode of goodness. If you remain long enough for the mode of goodness, material mode of goodness, then the material mode of goodness becomes Shuddham Sattva Guna, pure mode of goodness. And that does not degrade, unlike the madness, degrade into the lower modes. So that Shuddha Sattva Guna is our bottom. And if you continue to remain rendering devotional service, then that's what we attain by the grace of the Supreme Lord. Because we have the desire. Once we have the desire, Tat Sharat, Krishna takes charge. Instead of his expansion, super soul, Krishna himself sits in our heart and guides us. So that is all the sense of Bhakti. So worship of the Supreme Lord is the sole requirement. That's the point dug in. There is made. By the Navi, whole caste, Gosaikana himself teaches Uddhava all the intricacies of Bhakti process. He takes away right from the beginning, Jnani Yoga, Karma Yoga, and all this he explains. Ultimately, he explains Uddhava, the intricacies, the in-depth knowledge, but Bhagavad Bhakti, Bhagavad Dharma. So one who has thus worked the Lord, the Supreme Soul, as present within fire, the sun, the water, and other elements within his guest and also within his own heart, certainly attains salvation before long. So liberation is a sure thing, is there, you know. So before it's too long, one gains that as soon as one engages in bhakti process. All varnas are actually meant to worship the Lord. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Shudra, Vaishya, no matter what, ultimately they are meant to worship the Lord. So King Nimi, he is asking a question here. O best of those who know the self, what is the destination of those whose material desires are not fully satisfied, who have no control over their mind and senses, and who generally do not worship the Supreme Lord? This is actually the position, this is actually the situation of most of us, you know. So King Nimi, on behalf of us, is asking that question to one of the Yogendras, the Yogendras. So here, one of the Yogendras, whose name is Chamsha, he is replying. From the mouth, arms, thighs, and feet of the Lord, respectively, appeared the four varnas, or the caste, divided into Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra, according to the corresponding modes of nature. So he's explaining Varnashram Dharma, Varnashram system. Out of those divisions, those who do not worship the Supreme Person, who is the direct source of all souls and master of all, those who disregard him fall from their status and become degraded. So see that those, this is the situation of people who continue, even despite the devotees are teaching them, they don't hear, and they continually then falls into the slippery downward spiral in and this transmigration continues. Next life they may even lose the human life form. They'll have to come back to this animal species and so on like that. Lose, then duration of life, we don't have that. And then even can go, because then we commit lots of sinful activities. Then we may have to go to this hellish planets and suffer, you know. So this is the kind of happens to those who do not hear what devotees are constantly trying to help them, and they don't heed their advice, you know. And so that is the ultimate result that happens. So Navayogendra is really showing the danger signs of those who don't listen to this advice. Devotees surpass all obstacles. When people serving you, the Supreme Lord, who endeavors to ascend to your abode by crossing the planets of the demigods, they place many obstacles on their path, demigods. So when the soul departs, gives up this body, and is destined to go back to the spiritual world, they pass through the very planetary system, heavenly planetary systems. So devotees sometimes show some allurements. Oh, come, stay here. We'll show you a lot of enjoyment, you know. So they do that out of jealousy. But they do not present obstacles for others who offer oblations to them as their shares in sacrifice. So that's a self-interest. But being protected by you, oh my Lord, the devotees crosses over, stepping on the heads of all obstacles. So devotees don't have to worry about it. They automatically become resistant to such allurements by the demigods, and they continue on the path of bhakti. They don't have to worry about falling down again. There is again the power of bhakti process, the potency of bhakti. Degradation ensues from non-devotion. It's only when one is not engaged in bhakti, then such degradation takes place. Then this material allurement, tremendous way Maya is trying to tempt us to enjoy matter, and we fall victim to that. So they all fall from their status and become degraded. Of course, then Lord is worshipped in all ages. That's all. So that is the end of the teachings of Navayogendra. So you can see that they cover a lot of, actually, you know, so many intricacies of bhakti process they disclosed to King Nimi. And that's why it's very, very important, these teachings of Navayogendra in 11th canto. At the very beginning, first five chapters actually. Then, first five or six chapters. Then chapter 7 onwards, entire 11th canto to chapter 29 is Uddhava Gita. So here Krishna personally teaching Uddhava. So when he is teaching Uddhava about the transcendental knowledge, at that time Krishna had arranged to have Maitreya Muni also in that assembly, you know. So later Vidur Mahatma get to hear all this thing from Maitreya Muni. So Krishna's arrangement was there for Vidur Mahatma. So here it begins, 7th chapter is the beginning of Uddhava Gita. Devotees abandon attachment to devotion. So all this material attachment we have, this tight knot of matter and spirit we have, it can be pierced only by devotion to Krishna Bhakti. So by you, O Uddhava, forsaking all attachment for your own friends and relatives and absorbing your mind fully in me, should wander about the earth regarding all things with equanimity. So, see, I told you last week. So Uddhava was a really great devotee of Krishna right from his childhood, actually, you know. So when he found out, when he realized Krishna was about to wrap up his activities on this planet Earth, and he was going back to his own abode, immediately Uddhava became really very apprehensive. And he requested Krishna, please don't leave me alone on this material world. I want to come back to you. I cannot live without you, you know. So Krishna said, no, I want you to remain here and take my message to Narayan Rishi, you know. So I have a job for you. So this is what he begins with this, actually. So and he tells us that you must remain here. And all transcend that. So devotees are distinguished from jnani. So now here he's talking when he was teaching him about jnani yoga, you know. So we, your servants, who are endowed with garlands, so Uddhava is talking about, we, your servants who are endowed with the garlands and ornaments used by you, who eat your remnants, will surely conquer your maya. So here Uddhava wants to do that actually. Whatever Krishna's old clothes Uddhava would wear, remnants of his whatever eat Krishna, that would become prasada Uddhava. So Uddhava was doing all this thing, and that is because all things becomes sanctified, you know, and that's the process of getting the bhakti platform. Anyone continue that? Rita, the sages who go naked, who undergoes arduous practice, who maintains perfect celibacy, and who are free from mental distress, this is the description of a yogi, a jnani yogi, you know, renounced and pure, achieve your effulgence known as Brahma. But we who are wandering on the path of karma in this world, O supreme yogi, will cross over the insurmountable darkness of ignorance by discussing the activities you perform with your devotees. So that the point Uddhava is making here, that simply hearing your pastimes, simply hearing Krishna Katha, you know, that is what all required. All this difficult path of Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, everything is very, very difficult. But this Bhakti Yoga is extremely easy, very, very straightforward, and very joyful, you know, joyfully perform, easily perform. So that is what Uddhava is pointing out, you know. So by remembering and repeating your deeds and instructions, your gait, smiles, glance, and gest, and other behavior, you demonstrated in your own human life pastimes. So that is what we need to do that. And Srimad Bhagavatam is all about that. Awareness cannot be perfected without devotion. If a person has thoroughly studied the Vedas, the sound revelation of the Lord, but does not have perfect realization of the transcendental reality, the results of his effort is merely labor. So all this thing is laborious process, and it has no meaning. Shramayeva hi kevalam, only bhakti process is the important one, the only thing that works actually, you know. So persons who maintain, so okay, so that's the verse. And then he continues, Krishna is continuing. O dear Uddhava, a person who maintains a cow that does not yield any milk, an unchaste wife, a body that is slave to others, unworthy progeny, wealth not sanctified by offering to a worthy recipient, and speech bereft of my pastime, suffer misery after misery. So everything else, devoid of bhakti, is just a mere waste of time, you know. And it is, it doesn't make us free from material world. That's the point Krishna is making, you know. So my dear Uddhava, a sober person should not cultivate barren speech that does not concern itself with my purifying activities in relation to the creation, maintenance and annihilation of the cosmos, all which does. So even the narration of how material creation takes into place, how it is maintained, and then eventually how it is resolved, all this again Srimad Bhagavatam. So here even that itself is also very virtuous, because that engages, because that is performed by the Supreme Lord. In fact, hearing about that, so Krishna Maharaj, remember, at that time, he had hardly completed his left, his 7 days was about to be expiring, and he is asking that question to Parikshit Maharaj and to Sukhdev Goswami, that please direct me about the creation, you know. So one would wonder why a person who is about to die within just day or two, why would he bother to hear about creation? But that's the point Parikshit Maharaj is asking on behalf of us actually, that when we have no real consciousness who Krishna really is, how wonderful he is, you know, that he is supreme, being made here. So that's why Parikshit Maharaj asked that question actually. So even one who is not really in a bhakti, pure bhakti platform, they must hear about the supreme deeds, superhuman deeds that Krishna performed when he was on this planet Earth. So awareness is effective when it leads to devotion. Where jnana fails, bhakti succeeds. Pure devotion free from jnana. So again, the same point is being repeated here. So we discussed already that. Again, coming back to the sadhu sangha. The faith develops through association and taste. Krishna katha. So Krishna, again repeating that. Endowed with devotion to me, acquired through association with devotees, so Krishna here himself recommends those of us who do not have natural taste, inclination to hear Krishna Katha, they must first associate and serve those devotees who have that kind of natural inclination, natural taste for hearing Krishna Katha. So he takes to worshipping me, then only one develops Krishna Bhakti. So such a devotee easily attains realization of my intrinsic nature, so Rupa Shakti, which is the will of this, and then ascertaining the true path of ultimate welfare. When people talk about Manav Seva, doing social service, help humanity, they always question why you are, in fact this very weekend, I was being criticized actually that I was neglecting my particular duties towards my family and so on like that. So that time we had a really kind of very heatedness party. Is the greatest welfare activity for them. So those humans who are suffering, and if you give them a food, shelter, all things are very good actually, there's nothing wrong in that. But by giving them that, you are solving only temporarily their problem, because you don't realize the reason, the very root cause of their suffering. Root cause of their suffering is because they have forgotten their eternal relationship. Sambandha jnana with the Supreme. So you remind them and show them the path, the methodology to realize the Supreme bhakti process, then that is that way forever, for good, you are removing their miseries. But then they will never have to suffer in material world, and they never have to come back in material world, then they go back to spiritual world. So you give them a bhakti process. That is the supreme welfare activity. One can do that. Even Krishna, the supreme authority, is talking about that same thing, you know. So that Dev was arguing with me this particular weekend. Actually, that happens to be anyway. So she was very vehemently arguing with me. The what is use of all these things that they're doing, and you are neglecting your duties to your family, you know. She was really criticizing me. Actually, she was criticizing me about my mother's situation, you know. And she doesn't realize that I've been trying, and I've been maintaining all these difficulties I have. Still, she's totally vegetative life now. She's suffering from Alzheimer's disease. And just now, when I'm giving this talk, you could hear in the background, my wife was trying to help her. Totally forgot even the simple activities. How to go to the bathroom, how to wash herself. She made mess all over, so we had to clean every now and then. All the things which we are doing anyway. But that lady was arguing with me that you don't, you should say, oh, forget about Krishna Bhakti and everything, forget about all these activities you are giving, classes and all these things. You should just remain with your mother, who is going to be just maybe few months or so like that, you know. So that you should attend to it. But I said, no, you know. I let her hear. Acharya, who am I to help my mother? It's Krishna who is going to help her, you know. So that is, but sometimes this people who are not really have that kind of knowledge, then becomes very difficult to make them understand, you know. So they see only these superficial things, you know. See, now that's what I'm talking about is, here Krishna himself, Lord Gita, he himself is talking about that. The supreme welfare, the supreme way that you can help other beings is by giving them Krishna Bhakti. The process, Bhakti process, that you enlighten. Otherwise you are going to tell, they have forgotten the relationship with Krishna, you know. Man with the intelligence deluded by my external potency, that Krishna himself is saying that, that the way they think like that because it's Krishna's Maya potency. So that lady being with me is because of that. In fact, she the amazing thing that she herself is doing preaching. That's why I was clearly could not understand that. She's in the Swadhyaya program, you know, that Swadhyaya. But she misses the very point actually, you know. So best of men with the intelligence deluded by my external potency, people speak of many different paths of human welfare, ultimate welfare, according to their own karma and taste. Is that exactly what Krishna is saying? That's what I was experiencing this weekend with this lady. You know. Okay, another potency. Subsidiary process is not ill or welfare. Again, Krishna is showing the same thing. Again, let me repeat. Subsidiary process, this extraneous things, this swadharmas, what this lady was arguing with me, that I was supposed to be, I was apparently neglecting. But she did not, when I quoted this parodharma and all this thing, she, it did not penetrate her at all actually, you know. She said, leave that, this other things, you leave it to the other side. You are failing in your duties. That's her. She really condemned me right there, you know. So neither practice of yoga nor, so now Krishna is talking about, say, look at that, neither practice of yoga, nor sankhya, nor prescribed duties, nor the study of the Vedas, nor penances, nor renunciation can captivate me as does emphatic devotion unto me. So he is really emphasizing the supremacy of bhakti towards him. All the path, nature, dhanaya, nature, they, all these things, and then Krishna so talks about in Gita also the same thing, you know. Another verse in Uddhava Gita, religiosity endowed with truth and compassion, or even knowledge accompanied by penance, certainly does not completely purge the mind if devoid of my devotion. Very important point Krishna is making. Only through devotion to bhakti, this bhakti process is the whom Krishna is emphasizing. The more the mind is purified by hearing and reciting my pious pastimes, the more it can perceive the subtle reality, just as the eyes can see minute objects when treated with therapeutic ointment. So Krishna is giving examples to emphasize the point he is making about bhakti process towards him. Renunciation automatically follows devotion. So jnana and vairagya automatically follows devotion. Krishna disregarded jnana and karma and established bhakti alone as the abhideya. In five verses that he speaks now. All the desires in the heart of a thoughtful sage who constantly worships me through the methods of bhakti yoga already described are destroyed because I become situated in his heart. So all material desires, Krishna says, I destroyed in his very heart. That person who took shelter, who takes shelter of him in bhakti yoga, Krishna personally takes charge. You know, he cleanses their hearts. राधा कृष्ण पूर्ण श्रवण कीर्तन यदि अंतस्तो भद्राणी विदनोति श्रोत सता नष्ट प्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भक्ति नैष्टिक भक्ति इतिर नावित्तम सितम सत्य प्रसिद्धति. सो ही रिमूव्स द रजोगुण तमोगुण those who simply hear about Krishna Katha, you know. And in that place, he actually, instead of the lower modes, he establishes the mode of goodness. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogata bhagavat takta vijnanam mukta sangasta jayate. So then, he becomes engaged in pure bhakti, in a blissful mood, and then attends bhagavat takta vijnanam. And he's happy in this liberated platform. And when he gets this Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam, what is the potency of knowing Krishna who really is? Vidyate hridaye granthe chintyate sarva samshaya kshiyate chasya karmani drasht evatmanishvaya. Completely becomes free from all misgivings, doubts, all karmic reactions are immediately dissolved. No. Then he becomes enlightened about who really is. His forgotten relationship with Krishna is again established in his heart. So when one realizes me, the soul of everyone, the note in the heart is pierced, all doubts are dispelled, and one's karma is destroyed. The result of jnana, namely freedom from bondage, is attained through realization of him. So jnana and vairagya are not generally beneficial. This I was telling you earlier. Jnana and Vairagya are useful before we come to Bhakti platform. But once we are already in Bhakti platform, then that could be actually detrimental. That must be given up. So that's what Krishna is saying. Therefore, for the yogi who is endowed with Bhakti for me, or me, whose mind is fixed on me, knowledge and renunciation are not generally beneficial in this world. See that? Very clear statement. Bhakti does not depend on any other processes, whereas the only other processes depend on bhakti. All fruits available through devotion, whatever may be attained by execution of prescribed duties, penances, cultivation of jnana, renunciation, practice of yoga, offering of charity in accordance with scripture, or any other means of ultimate welfare, so easily attained by my devotee through engagement in bhakti yoga to me. If at any time my devotee should desire heaven, liberation or my abode, he can also attain them. But devotees don't desire anything else. Because when devotees reach to that stage, they don't want anything at all of this kind. They just want to serve Krishna wherever Krishna is. They would even, when Krishna is in the material world, wherever, they would rather would come and assist in his pastimes. And that is the ultimate goal. So for devotee, liberation is nothing. Even the spiritual world is not meant for them. They come to spend time associated with wherever Krishna is, and then become part of his pastimes. That is the goal of devotees. And that is the unique result of bhakti, as Krishna is talking about. By using this unreal and mortal body, one can attain me. So, see that this important point is making, that while we have this material body, only through material body we can render devotional service. So we need this material body, and that is exactly my theory, my hypothesis. To render bhakti, we need this material body. So what is it that, how this changes by bhakti takes place in our material body, and how we communicate with the Supreme, and how Supreme communicates with us? That is the precise my questions, precise my query, and my research is directed at that, to scientifically understand that, hopefully someday to then show to the world, and then they realize the potency of bhakti. That's exactly my goal is there. And why I'm pursuing this second PhD at the age of 73 is all because of that. Krishna is inspiring me to do this thing, you know. It's up to him whether or not I succeed. my dear folks, whenever I'm asking you, I'm giving you this homework assignment, quizzes, whatever, it's just for your own benefit. So you can more actively participate in this process. But unfortunately, I've not been able to convince you, except for those very few, very fortunate souls. Sharad Prabhu is one of them. I have failed miserably to convince all of you. Even looks like I did not deserve the simple courtesy of even response. Just three or four of you responded to me. Most of you simply ignored that my request. What could be the greatest misfortune for me? And I am simply trying to help you. Hopefully, if you can just keep hearing at least, then you will realize sooner or later. Ultimately, it's Krishna who is doing that. I am just his instrument. I am just his mouthpiece. Nothing else. He speaks through me. And that way, I redeem myself. I hope to redeem myself. I am trying to now, because I have a long, long way to go. So now the last part. Sukadeva Goswami is now speaking to King Parikshit. And then of course finally Suta Goswami is speaking to the sages of Naimisharanya headed by Shanaka Rishi. So Sukadeva Goswami is giving final instruction to King Parikshit. Hearing is primary methodology. See that? Again he is pointing out that, emphasizing that. Hearing about Krishna Katha is the ultimate methodology. That is a bhakti. For a person tormented by the forest fire of multifarious miseries and desiring to cross the insurmountable ocean of material world, Bhavasagara, there is no vessel other than constantly hearing the nectar-like narration of the pastimes of person Sri Krishna. And that's precisely exactly what I'm trying to convince all of
beauty, if devoid of devotion to Lord Achyuta.
karma, which is always inauspicious, when not offered to the Lord, even if performed without material motive. Conventional religion yields only material wealth. So this is talking about this, people who perform, havans, fire sacrifice, all these things, those are from, if the motive is material, then it's of no value. And they get their material wealth, of course, but to enjoy the material wealth, they have to remain in the material world. That simple fact, that kind of intelligence they don't have. The immense labor expended in discharging prescribed duties pertaining to one's Varnashram Dharma and in undergoing study of the Vedas and practices culminate only in wealth accompanied by fame. But by hearing and repeating the glories of the Lord Hari, one attains unbroken remembrance of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the support of the goddess of fortune. So that, please Krishna, he gives everything. Bhakti awards transcendence, continuous remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So all these verses are there basically. So I'm just going to speak. Let's just go through just the potency of bhakti that is being established by these verses, really glorifying this thing, Devotion is the ultimate fortune. Devotion arouses eagerness. Bhakti is discussed by all teachers in Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's what we have been hearing. Bhakti is the methodology as discussed further in Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhakti is the supreme duty of humanity. Bhakti is the path of fearlessness. Bhakti is fruit of hearing scripture. So all these verses are basically attesting, they are all these things about the purpose of bhakti. Okay, this is all this last to us, and see if there are time for maybe a couple of questions. Hare Krishna. So as I said, I just do my job, deliver the class, no more exercise, nothing like that, right? Whatever, I respect your desires, I respect whatever decision you made, and I will simply follow that. Hare Krishna. Okay, so I think there are no more questions. I'm going to request Dishana to conclude the class with the Shiva. Hare Krishna. Dishana, if you're ready.
Yamita to Narsimpo, yet to Yamita to
Jiva Goswami.